I call the House Finance Committee to order. Today is Friday, March 13, 2020, and the time is 1:34. Members present, Representative Knopp, Representative Laban, Representative Telton, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool, Representative Merrick, and myself, Representative Johnston. Today on the agenda, we'll be hearing House Bill 185, the registration of votes, House Bill 24, limited teacher certificates, and HJR 15, the constitutional amendment votes needed for a veto override. First, we'll start off with House Bill 185, an act relating to the registration of commercial vessels and providing for an effective date, and we've been joined by Representative Carpenter. Could we have a brief bill reintroduction by Matt Reening?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Matt Greening, staff to Representative Stutz. What this bill does, just briefly for a reintroduction, is it exempts currently registered CFEC vessels from the three-year registration requirement created under Senate Bill 92 in 2018 from the requirement to register every 3 years with the DMV. And what it does is it also allows for an $8 fee to be put in place in lieu. It's an annual registration in lieu of that three-year $24 registration, so that commercial fishermen will still pay their way to the fund, still pay their way to the purposes of the DNR boating safety programs. And so it's after the first year, it would be a net wash to the state of a net zero. There's two new fiscal notes in members' packets. And again, it just removes a duplicative registration requirement on commercial vessels, because they provide that same data on vessel ownership that was desired through Senate Bill 92 through their CFEC registration.
Thank you. And do we have an amendment?
Madam Chair, I move amendment number one.
And I will object for purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment number one ensures that the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission licensed vessels exempt from DMV registration under the bill will not be charged twice as this legislation transitions into law. To further explain, Section 3 of the bill institutes an annual $8 fee starting January 1st of 2021 for all CFEC licensed vessels in lieu of the current three-year $24 fee with the DMV. However, Madam Chair, CFEC licensed vessels that registered with the DMV in 2019 and 2020 have already paid a three-year registration fee of $24. And because they have already paid, Amendment number one directs the CFEC to waive the $8 fee for the calendar year 2021 for the vessels that paid the $24 to the DMV in 2019 for the calendar years of 2021 and 2020, and for vessels that paid the $24 fee in 2020. So I guess, Madam Chair, to put it another way, it just amendment number one further moves towards the general direction of the bill in the first place, in that it makes sure that those vessels, those owners of vessels that are licensed with the CFEC, don't do duplicate payments.
And I, Representative Knopp.
Just a question for the maker of the amendment. And the bill sponsors have weighed in on this amendment and are good with it, or have they weighed in on it yet?
I am moving this on behalf of the bill sponsor.
Representative Wool.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What about a brand new commercial fishing boat that just now is entering the system? Would they get the $8 waive for the 2 years that didn't have to register the DMV?
Well, this particular amendment, Representative, doesn't address the new vessels in any way. It just addresses those vessels that have already prepaid in the years 2019 or 2020. So it doesn't address that particular issue.
I see no other questions. I will remove my objection. Are there any other objections? With no further objections, seeing none, Amendment 1 has been adopted. There are two new fiscal notes. Would either the sponsor staff or let's see, we do have Joanne Olson and Dale Kelly online. Could you speak to the fiscal notes? Dale Kelly, I go first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, our fiscal note.
Could you put your name on the record, please? And who?
I'm sorry. Yes. My name is Dale Kelly. I'm Commissioner at Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And I'm here in Juneau.
Yeah. And could you speak to the new fiscal note, please?
Certainly. So, Madam Chair, our fiscal note has been amended from the previous version, which was zero and had no indication of changes in revenue. We have since been informed how to properly put that across. This particular fund is going to be a pass-through similar to the Fisherman's Fund where we collect it and it's moved through to another pot of money. It's going to be the same here. So we've indicated what we would expect to take in for a portion of fiscal 2021 since it begins on January 1st if this legislation passes. And then we have indicated the amount that will be coming in, which is we estimate about $70,000 a year will come in from this program. It's a little difficult to put a finite number in there because we have a kind of random number of vessels that license each year. For instance, last year we licensed 8,806 vessels. The recent five-year average was about 9,200, or somewhere in that range. So that would take care of our amendments. We may have to do something now to adjust if you pass the amendment that has been put before you.
Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you. And could Joanne Olson speak to yours, please?
Madam Chair, my name is Joanne Olson. I'm the interim director at the Division of Motor Vehicles here in Anchorage. Yes, I will. We would have a deficit of 21.5 because we wouldn't be collecting this registration. If we run for a three-year period and we take the average for what we collected, what it would be for an annual amount, and annually we would collect $12,082.67 based on the number we took in 2019. So with 2 years, for the next 2 years, we wouldn't even be able to collect that amount of money.
Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you very much. Is there any committee discussion on this bill? So it would be my intent to move House Bill 185 on Monday. So we will be setting it aside till Monday. Next, we'll be doing House Bill 24, an act relating to instruction in a language other than English and relating to limited teacher certificates. And would Representative Price Tompkins and his staff, Aaron Harrington, come to the table and do a brief introduction? I guess Representative Christ Tompkins.
I can be succinct, Madam Chair. For the record, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, District 35, HB 24 creates an immersion language certificate to help address the need and documented problems in the trenches, so to speak, of school districts around Alaska in terms of getting fluent speakers of languages in classrooms for immersion language programs.
Thank you, and I understand there's an amendment.
Yes.
Would you like to move your amendment?
I move amendment number one.
Object.
Would you like to speak to your objection?
I would. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, I had some discussions with the bill sponsor and with the amendment sponsor and with my local school district in Fairbanks. And the bill sponsor just mentioned to one of the purposes of this bill is to provide foreign language teachers in immersion programs around Alaska. However, most of the foreign language program, most of the immersion programs are in Anchorage. I think there's about seven immersion programs in Anchorage. There's one in Wasilla and there's one in Bethel. There's none in Fairbanks. There's none in Juneau, there's none in Ketchikan, there's none in Nome, and so on and so forth. I spoke to my school district both last year when I first saw this bill. It was a different form of the bill, and now the form's been, the bill's been amended. But when I had discussions with my school board both last year and as recently as yesterday, they support the bill because they have a hard time finding foreign language teachers. My daughter, as I maybe mentioned earlier, is in a middle school with no foreign language classes at all. And the high schools have a hard time finding and retaining a foreign language teacher. So if, for example, someone came to Fairbanks maybe to do research or teach at the university, and the spouse of this person, a world language speaker, might want to work in the school system for some time, this would be a good opportunity for them as long as they met the qualifications and, of course, were approved by the school board. But I think this is a good opportunity to expand foreign language beyond the immersion programs that are mainly in South Central. So I oppose the amendment because it limits to only immersion programs, and Fairbanks, some would call the second largest community in Alaska, maybe the third after the Valley, I'm not sure, but it doesn't have an immersion program. So I won't exclude my school district from this bill.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, and I'm trying to remember the process because I hadn't spoken to the amendment.
Right.
But essentially, Madam Chair, the bill is about immersion programs. And I'll let the committee know that there was concern not just expressed by me but by a number of members about really the necessity of the bill, the intent of the bill, that sort of thing. And my office did a very thorough analysis of this with the sponsor, and we found that there's a lot of merit in the bill. And so I support the bill. However, the bill is about limited language immersion programs. And so my amendment would clarify that holders of the new limited language immersion teacher certificate may only teach in immersion programs. They may not, for example, teach an immersion program in the morning and teach standard foreign language classes or English as a second language in the afternoon. The amendment reflects the intent of the bill as expressed in testimony to the Finance Committee. I want to be very clear about that. It's intended as a friendly amendment, and my understanding is that the sponsor is at least demurs to it. That is, he takes no position or is not troubled by my amendment. That's essentially what my office was told. The goal of House Bill 24 is to address the need to hire native language speakers and foreign citizens or recent immigrants to teach subject matter classes in indigenous or foreign languages within emergent programs. These teachers may have less formal education than is required of other classroom teachers, but they are essential to survival of immersion programs, so I accept that waiving the standard classroom teacher qualifications is necessary, just as I've described. However, this legislation is not intended to allow regular foreign language classes to be taught by individuals who do not meet the requirements for either a Type M limited certificate or what used to be called a Type A and is apparently called something else now. So my amendment makes that distinction clear, and I ask for your support.
Representative Foster.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I ask a question of the bill sponsor?
Yes, please. Could you please come back up? Put your name on the record.
For the record, Jonathan Christ Tompkins.
Thank you. One of the things that attracted me to this bill was the language revitalization, how it could be applied out in rural Alaska. And I guess to some extent, maybe in some communities, you've already got a situation where somebody's coming in and doing some teaching, and I don't know how that's structured exactly, whether they're certified or not. But I did see this as another avenue where, you know, language, teaching of languages could be further expanded. And so I guess my question is, if for example, in Teller, there is not a language immersion program, then this bill would not apply in any way. And if they found some reason why this could be useful, but this amendment was added, would this detract from their ability to do things?
Representative Foster, through the chair, the amendment, as I understand it, would apply only to world languages. So the amendment on the sort of indigenous side of the equation would have no effect. It would really just be on the world language side. Although to the sort of underlying thrust of your question, you're right that at present passage of HB 24 would not change the reality of native language opportunities in Teller. I think what's worth the committee being aware of is that there are a number of school districts around Alaska that are looking at standing up immersion language programs. So Representative Wohl's comments were fully accurate. So far as I know, it's Wasilla, it's Bethel, and it's Anchorage right now where immersion language programs exist in Alaska. I know for a fact of one school district that is very close to launching an Inupiaq language immersion program. And I know here in Southeast there's a lot of interest in immersion language program in multiple school districts. So just to your question about native language revitalization, there may be a number of school districts that would benefit from passage of this legislation soon, even if it's not in this moment in time.
Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the question for the sponsor of the bill. But just to be clear, the amendment that's before us right now won't impact in any way the ability for communities to adopt immersion programs or other types of language programs in our amongst our native culture, right? It's not going to impact that. It only has to do with foreign languages. Is that correct?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair, Ms. Harrington and I are comparing and contrasting the amendment language with the bill language.
Erin Harrington, staff to Representative Christ-Tompkins, through the chair, Representative Ortiz. My understanding as the amendment is drafted is that it would actually apply to all immersion language programs, therefore including those that are for Alaska Native languages, but I would look to the amendment sponsor to provide clarification on that.
Representative Josephson?
Could I have just a brief at ease?
Yes, brief at ease. Call this meeting back to order. Representative Josephson.
So this amendment doesn't change anything that's happening now with our present system and with the viability of a type M where, for example, there's a foreign language taught and just a foreign language or an indigenous language in a regular public school. So all this is doing is speaking to this new class of certificates and saying for this new class of immersion program, you couldn't use this certificate in a regular school. That's the intent of the amendment, and that's the effect of the amendment.
Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, I think I just heard Representative Josephson say that a Type M instructor could teach in a regular school, but as far as I understand, Type M applies to a native Alaskan language or some other skill that's non-foreign language, like welding or other specialties. Military science, I think, is one of them. So as far as foreign language goes, a type M is only applicable for Alaskan native languages as far as teaching in a non-immersion school. And so I guess I feel it's sort of, you know, and I asked the bill sponsor yesterday, would this only apply to immersion schools or could it apply to general schools? And he said it's a gray area and maybe up to regulation. But I would like to see students who are not in an immersion school, which is most students, be able to get foreign language. And, you know, if someone were able to teach Chinese or Russian or even in rural Alaska, they might want to learn other languages as well, that I would hate to see them denied because they're not in a quote-unquote immersion school. Fairbanks has a lot of charter schools and some private schools, but, you know, most kids go to a regular public school, and I think foreign language is an important component of that, and I'd hate to see it denied because they're not an immersion school. So I support the bill, but I don't support the amendment limiting it, and, you know, hopefully the bill doesn't limit it either, and that's why I asked the question yesterday or whenever it was.
Representative Lamon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It gets more complicated if you're asking an immersion language-speaking individual to now teach classes in the regular school. You have to run the subject material through the curriculum committee. You have to do a deeper dive in what is being taught and expected from the program. You're now involving the school board on a curriculum level, or my understanding of an immersion is it's more a satellite event. It's in the school, but it's focused on a smaller population with a focus on the emerging language. So there is a difference.
Representative Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't necessarily trying to implement immersion programs where they don't exist. I was just speaking to the fact that there's a shortage of regular foreign language teachers, and the school board themselves has, in support of measures that would make it easier for them in the short term to get those types of teachers. And they expressed to me that there's a shortage. And so they would just be teaching regular high school foreign language, something, not teaching other subjects or, in an, you know, not teaching other disciplines other than the language itself. So. And again, they'd have to be approved by the board and have appropriate qualifications that the school board would have to be okay with.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I definitely don't know the ins and outs and all the technicalities and certification and so forth, but I do sense that this is kind of narrowing things more than leaving as many options on the table as possible. So for me, I'd like to keep the scope as broad as possible. And in a moment of uncertainty, I would rather err on the side of maybe not supporting this amendment to keep as many of the options on the table as possible. So.
And seeing no other questions, I would be echoing my co-chair's thoughts. I have in Anchorage, where the immersion programs are currently, they literally, I think, emerged. So there was sort of a step-up situation. The program didn't just, some of them actually have been started right off at the get-go, but a lot of them had to be built until they got to the level of immersion. And so I would want to have that same kind of flexibility in the program. Are there any other comments? Representative Ortiz?
I still don't see how this particular amendment limits in any way or narrows it. It hasn't been explained to me clearly, Representative Wall, how this particular amendment would narrow opportunities for there to be foreign language opportunities in any public school across the state of Alaska. I don't get it. How is it narrowing it?
Through the chair to Representative Ortiz. The language says, and the instruction is provided only to students who are enrolled in a language immersion program. And, for example, Fairbanks doesn't have a language immersion program, but they do teach foreign language. So a student might go from math to English to Chinese and then to gym. So that Chinese class would not be an immersion, but it's foreign language, world language. We're talking world language here. So if they had the opportunity to hire someone to teach that world language, I think this bill would be a good vehicle to enable the school district of Fairbanks to hire someone that's qualified.
Follow up?
So just for clarification, what you'd like to see happen is people with this that could qualify for this different type of certification to be able to to use that type of certification to instruct foreign language. And that you don't think that the Type M certification covers that ability?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, to my understanding, maybe the bill sponsor can speak to this, my understanding was Type M in the realm of foreign language only applies to Alaska Native languages and other disciplines, but within the world of language, it's only for Alaska Native languages.
If I may?
Mm-hmm.
So part of this amendment was, and as I said, we spoke to the sponsor about the amendment. The bill is about immersion, limited immersion language certificates. That's what it's about. And the amendment is consistent with that. It's saying, go forth and conquer, have that thing. But to then say, oh, well, notwithstanding that every other teacher in a regular public school has a four-year bachelor's degree as required by Title 14, passed exams, has teacher training, can speak English, which has some value when you're talking to a 14-year-old who was not in an immersion program. They just showed up at Spanish 1 or Spanish 101. So now you'd have this class of people within a regular public school who don't know anything about Alaska studies. They may not know much about Alaska at all. They have students who have no exposure to the language. I don't know. It creates a distinct class within a larger class. And I was just trying to focus the bill on what it wants to be focused on. And in that respect, I didn't think the amendment did offense to the bill, and that's what the sponsor seems to have indicated and frankly has indicated today as well.
And we do have Tamara Van Wy on the phone if there's any questions of the Department of Deed. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand the concerns of Representative Josephson. I trust that the school board wouldn't hire someone that had poor enough communication skills in English or not enough education. And that's what we're relying on with the bill to begin with. There are no, it has to be approved by the school board every year. So there are Type M teachers in the school system right now that teach military science that don't have a teaching certificate. They might teach welding that don't have a teaching certificate, or maybe even a four-year baccalaureate degree. So there are those exemptions. And also stated in the bill, the goal is to get these teachers certified if they so wish. Again, we're in a teacher shortage situation. Foreign language being one of them. So, and that's why I asked yesterday of the bill sponsor, would this limit it? And the answer was the bill perhaps doesn't limit it to just immersion schools. This amendment might. So this amendment, although the bill is titled immersion, the amendment is tightening it up, and I prefer to leave it not so tight so that if a district wanted to, they could use this as a vehicle again. I don't think the school board would want to hire someone who's not educated enough or not qualified.
So you maintain your objection?
I do, yeah.
And so we'll have a roll call vote. The clerk, please give, do a roll call.
Representative Knapp.
Yes.
Representative Lund.
Yes.
Representative Merrick.
Pass.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Wolf.
No.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Seven yeas, four nays. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Merrick.
No.
Six yeas, five nays.
So with a vote of six yeas and five nays, this amendment has been adopted. We do have a new fiscal note, and the fiscal note is from, Division of, at ease. This meeting back to order. Mr. Pearson, could you walk us briefly through the fiscal note?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Robert Pearson from Division of Community and Regional Affairs. The department has changed this fiscal note to zero to reflect the reality that there is currently, as of this fiscal year, no travel planned for the Alaska Native Language Commission, and we're going to anticipate maintaining that in the future.
Are there any questions for Mr. Pearson? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any further committee discussion? Brief at ease. Call this meeting back to order. Next on our agenda is HJR 15, proposing amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to actions upon vetoes. Representative Christ Tompkins, would you like to give a brief reintroduction?
Yes, Madam Chair. This joint resolution creates a uniform veto override threshold. As previously discussed, it 2/3 across the board, and the appropriation revenue veto override threshold would be changed to mirror the overall policy veto override threshold.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, I am going to open public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that wishes to testify? I see we have Laura Bonner from Anchorage on the off-net. Would you like to testify?
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Bonner, and this is for HJR 15, correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
I support this resolution. I think that it doesn't matter who the governor is. I think that 75% of the legislators is kind of over the top. The legislature is closer to the people, and we already have a very strong language in our language for a strong governor, but there has to be that balance of power. And the legislator is close to the legislative bodies are closer to the people. And so I think that 2/3 of the legislators to override a veto is definitely better than a simple majority. I believe that 75% is a little bit too much. So I support this resolution and will vote for it if it gets to the ballot. And thank you for the opportunity to speak.
And thank you for taking the time to call in. Is there anybody else in the room or online? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Is there any committee discussion? It will be my intent to move HJR 15 on Monday. Our brief at ease. This meeting back to order. Our next meeting is on Monday, March 16th, 2020 at 9 a.m. We will be taking up HB 185, HB 24, HJR 15, and HB 181, which is the public schools mental health education. Do any members have anything they'd like to discuss before we adjourn? Seeing none, we adjourn at 2:10 p.m.